G'day, Jamie Soward here. Welcome to another edition of Pow Hour with Soward. This is where I catch up with some of the biggest names in rugby league. Today I'm joined by Titans captain Ryan James. How have you been, Ryan?
Yeah, going all right. Obviously, with the knee injury, just trying to get back in the rehab and stuff. But yeah, mentally going good. And footy teams are going that well, but I'm heading all right.
Let's talk about that knee injury. It was a round six clash v the Newcastle Knights. How are you tracking? Is everything going all right with the surgery? And have we got a return date? Will it be pre-season next year?
Yeah, it's just everything's tracking good. Surgery was 1 week after, and everything just seems to be going fine. I was travelling fine until I tried to stand up the other day and just had a little pop in the hemi, but they reckon it's just a scar tissue because I take your hamstring to put it back in. So everything seems to be going fine, only 2 weeks post-surgery now, so it's all good.
What's been the hardest thing at home? Because I watch you on Instagram and I know how active you are with your kids. What's been the hardest thing that you haven't been able to help wifey out with?
Yeah, it's actually hard at the moment because she just had surgery as well, and like we both can't pick up the kids, and they always just want to pick up. Like, you know, yourself with a young kid, our youngest is only one, and the oldest is three, and he's just clingy as, and just always wants to be on you, and like you don't want to just quickly bend over and pick something up. And they, we're lucky, like both of our parents are on the coast, and they can help us, and we're pretty lucky that we've got family support around here that will. Willing to drop everything for about 2 weeks and just help us out for a little bit.
Let's have a chat about the Titans this year. Obviously, probably not trending where you'd want to be. Another disappointing loss on the weekend to the Sharks at Magic Ground. The Titans, they every year they come in with an unknown. You don't know. I mean, the forward pack for me has been quality, probably a top six forward pack for the last couple of years, but outside backs have always been thin. Where's this team at, Ryan? Because every year, like I said, it's an unknown, and then you have good performances, you have bad performances. Where has this team sort of gotten better since Mal Meninga came in?
Yeah, just sort of helping trying to build culture at the club. I think once we sort of lost those earlier boys, like you would have played against Bales and Princey and LaFranchi and Minicello, and in the early days when, pretty good force within the NRL. So there was a couple of years there where one or two games off the grand final and had a really strong culture, and everything that was happening around the club was building towards something. And I think in that middle part where nearly lost the Gold Coast Titans, and then we got bought out by the NRL, then luckily enough the Kellys and the Frizzells brought us back, and I've gone to implementing getting this culture back in the club, and Mal's been good with helping with that. But we need to put that into on-field performance, but definitely around the community and stuff, and everything that we do outside of football seems be keeping the Gold Coast happy. But keep the Gold Coast happy if the Gold Coast Titans are winning football games. So we just need to put in full performances for a whole game, and making sure that at half the directness around and everyone knows what they're doing. And it's just the simple things that are killing us, really. So if we can break down the game plan to make it easier and make it simple jobs, I think it'll be a lot better for the boys that are playing.
Yeah, I want to touch on your community presence that the Titans have up there, one of the best in the NRL. You won the 2018 Ken Stephen medal. Talk to us about that, and also the influence of a guy like Preston Campbell. I got the chance to catch up with Presto after Indigenous All-Stars Week, and he spoke about his legacy and what he's doing up there and how he's been able to turn retirement into probably a more powerful message about where he's taken his life. Run us through all that.
Yeah, so Presto and Prince and all those other guys that were here in the first stages of the Titans just really laid the platform for us. And obviously being a new club, you have to go and do community work to get everyone on board. Obviously the buzz around town would have helped, but it just helped that we had genuine good guys that were going out there who were willing just to go out there and just be in part of the community. And I think when you got guys like that, and I was lucky enough to play a couple of years with them and just to see the impact that they have on people, it just really hits home. And people that come up from Sydney clubs actually really struggle with some of the community work we do within the first year, and then they sort of just get used to it because it's just normal for us on the Gold Coast, because we're pretty much, we're a one town team, and if we can keep the community happy and keep everything rolling, football's strong on the coast, so we just need to make sure everything goes a little bit better.
So you won the Ken Stephenson medal in 28, the Ken Stephen medal, sorry, and you find time in your busy schedule being the captain of the club to be able to go out there and do so much community work. What gives you the biggest thrill back from that?
Oh, it was just like, you go back to memories when you're at school, and I remember the Parramatta Eels came down to our club and to our local club, which was Blamble back in the day, and yeah, you didn't see too many first graders back then, so I just remember the feeling having it as a kid. And if you can change someone's life by doing really not too much, just showing up, you know, playing around with kids and signing autographs and talking to them, it really, truly isn't doing that much to make someone pretty happy. So, yeah, NRL is a great platform for us to go out there and give back and really change people's lives. And, yeah, honestly, it's actually pretty simple what we do. We're pretty lucky we get to play the game that we love, and it pays us no matter what. So, yeah, we're just in a privileged position where we're able to go and do that. And I think it sort of was instilled in me with my parents, who volunteered at our local club now. So I think it's about 25 years, and none of me and my brothers have been there for the last 10 years. So they just love junior rugby league. And when you're always giving back to junior rugby league, that's where, you know, the next NRL players come from. So just always giving back, always just seems to help.
What do you do life after footy? Because so many players, I think you're one of the last sort of guys in that, I guess, older generation, even though you're only 27, you've been around for a long time, so you get it that life after footy is hard. And I've spoken about my struggles to get back working and everyday life, but you completed a business degree at Griffith University in 2016. Is that what you want to do after footy?
Yeah, I sort of did that. I did my business sports management and minored in marketing. So I just sort of did that because it was in the 20 system back then, and it was just something that we had to do back then. So I didn't really think too much of it at the time, but it's something that I'll actually be able to fall back on and hopefully be able to use when I finish footy. I haven't actually really thought too far into the future, to tell you the truth, but I'm still at uni. I'm doing my Bachelor of Education and looking at doing a degree that it's just a one-year add-on that helps you become a lecturer at university as well. So something like that, but I feel as I could do something pretty comfortably. I wouldn't mind being a school teacher because coming up through PBC, which is the footy school up here, there was just teachers that sort of really helped me and a couple of other players get on track, and yeah, just helped us with our life and around football. And it's great to see like someone from my team that was playing together at school, Cody Walker, playing such excellent footy. And I thought he should have been an NRL a long time ago, but I've always known he's been a great player, and you know, it'd be silly not to chuck him in the blue side.
Yeah, I'll get to your opinion on that a little bit later, because you've been in and around the Origin selection, I guess, bracket for a long, long time. Last year, a little bit of confusion. You're on your way down, and then the late change for Matty Pryor. Didn't want to ask you about it, but I'm going to have to. Run us through the emotions there in and around that situation.
Yeah, it was tough because the first one, yeah, I thought I was in. I had the phone call a little bit later that night to say they went with Big Clem, which, you know, yep, he's been there and done that. So didn't really worry me. And then the next one, it was just me and Matty Pryor both went into camp, and we both trained, and we actually only found out about 3 or 4 days later when they actually had to name the team. So I was happy for Matty. He's been around the NRL, he's won premierships, and you know, you can't be bitter about things like that because, you know, you just got to keep training hard. And you obviously want to play at that level. You've played at that level, and it's one of the pinnacles of the game. And you still just try and work hard to get towards it. And obviously, this year's a bit of a setback, but I've just had other goals outside footy to help me get back to where I need to be. And it shouldn't be. It's still on the list of things that I'm dying to do. So hopefully, in the future, I can still pull on the blue jersey.
Wear a Blues jersey, win a series. Wear an Australian jersey and win a World Cup or a series, or win a title for the Titans. You can have the other two together, the rep stuff together, or win a title for the Titans. What are you doing?
Well, probably win a title for the Titans, because I think it would really bring the community together up here. And yeah, you've won a GF, and I don't really know what the feeling's like, but you know, I debuted in 2010 where we were one game off, and yeah, it's tough to be so close but yet so far. And we're yet to get back to where we were back then, and I could just imagine what the Gold Coast would be like if we won the GF up here. So,
I can imagine too. I might come up if you win.
definitely.
I want to talk to you about 2010 because you were in under 20 system then, and then you made your debut that year. You're also in the NYC team of the year, but that finals week, I mean, we remember watching the Roosters that first week of the finals, their escape against the West Tigers, and they come up to the Titans, who had been rolling all year and I think finished second that year, got themselves a home final. The buzz must have been amazing for yourself, thinking this is going to happen every year, but that's the hardest thing with young guys in the NRL. When you make a final series, they take it for granted when you say young, and then you realise that, you know, you've only played in a couple of finals since you've had one in 2010, or two in 2010, and then one in 2016, and it's your 10th season of the Titans.
Yeah, that's it. Few and far between, and you realise how hard you actually have to work to get there, and just the amount of hard work that the players around you put in to actually get to that level, and it's something that it's hard to put your finger on, because, you know, we had a lot of old heads and experience, you know, eight and rep players back then, and you know, we sort of been bringing in people from far and wide, trying to, you know, sort of create a team, sort of that wasn't really Gold Coast. Whereas in the last year or so, we've been really trying to bring Gold Coast players back, wanting to play for the Gold Coast, because there's nothing really better than playing for your hometown. And, you know, you grew up as a kid. I grew up just south of the border here in Blamble, and seeing a team come in like the Gold Coast, and from that second you just want to play for them, and yeah, it just ends up being a dream, and you just need to make sure everyone's working towards the same goal pretty much at the end of the year, otherwise it all just sort of goes out the door. And, you know, a couple tight losses and a couple little things, could I have done better there, really does make a difference at the end of the day. And yeah, you just need to be one of those teams that's really resilient and can pull through those tight matches.
So it's funny, because in 2009 we finished first, and I went to sleep, you know, probably a month ahead of the finals, thinking, this is it, this is our year. I could just see that trophy so close, and then we got bounced in straight sets. And for me, that was a driving force in 2010, and we were successful then. But then you try and recapture that, thinking it's going to happen again, it's going to happen again. After 2011, I didn't play finals until 2014, and then didn't play finals again. So as a leader now in the Titans club, what does Ryan James say to a young guy like Ash Taylor, who I've been very critical of at times about his performance? And I think, you know, my honest opinion is when you're a million-dollar player, you're going to cop a lot more criticism. You're going to cop a lot more analysis. And Ash Taylor at times hasn't delivered to that million-dollar price tag. How do you keep his confidence up? Because he plays like he did in that first half last week, and you think, I sat back and I thought, okay, here we go. This is the Ash Taylor I expected in 2019. But then there's some stuff in the second half that realises maybe Ash Taylor, maybe the Titans are further away than what we thought.
Yeah, it's hard, because Ash knows what he has to do, and the things in his game he needs to work on. And I think it's just me trying to get to him on a personal level and making sure he's doing everything right off the field, because...
Is that a bigger challenge now, Ryan? Because, I mean, you're an older guy who's been around. You've played with the Scott Princes. You've played with some of the best players ever play the game. Is that the challenge, getting to know younger guys away from footy?
It is, and you don't, like, being a father of two now, you actually don't get that much time to talk to them outside your footy realm. And I'm actually taking this year on as to go out and know everything about everyone. I always seem to like the things I know a lot about everyone, but I don't know if I actually genuinely do. So I've known Ash for a couple of years now. I don't know what makes him, you know, what makes him go and what doesn't. So he just needs to make sure that everything off the field, that there's no worries, and he seems to play great footy when he's not thinking about anything else but footy. And it's great to have Tyrone back next to him, because he really does bring a calmness around him. I don't know what it is. They just love being around each other. They're great mates. But hopefully they can get that bit of spark back. And I think Ash is still only really young, and there's a lot of pressure being on that sort of money at that age. And, you know, he's got to expect that sort of pressure. And I think he knows what comes with being on that sort of money. And he's definitely working around the clock to try and get better. And he's been playing through a lot of, you know, quad strains, and which takes away from his kicking game, which a lot of people don't actually really see. And There was a game where I was playing with him at the start of the year, and he kicked one ball, and I knew straight away he hurt his quad, and you know, then the other half has to take over and do all the kicking. So
yeah,
just little things that people actually don't know and think why Ash Taylor's taken the line on and why isn't he kicking, because he's physically trying to get himself out there, but sometimes he just needs to realise his body mightn't be there, and sometimes you have to take the week off because playing every round of footy every week is it's tough going. And it took me a long time in my career, probably 7 years, to be able to do that. So he's probably only 3 or 4 years in and trying to do it. He pretty much did it for the first three, and it does have a toll on your body, and you have to make sure you're professional everywhere, what you're eating, how you're recovering, and everything else around footy to make sure you can do that week in, week out. And I guess the best players do that.
Does his attitude change the way he bounces around training when Tyron Roberts comes back? Because I think I've been on record saying that no Tyron Roberts, no Titans for me, because the way he plays his footy is so confident. He could be having a bad game for 79 minutes, but in the 80th minute, you still want him to have the ball and chance to win you the game. Does Ash Taylor feed off that? Is there something more that he can do to try and get the best out of himself?
Yeah, 100%, like when he's around Tyrone, but I think he's searching other ways now to get some half coaches in with to try and help him work on his game and a bit of game management stuff, and hopefully Princey can come back, because you look back, I remember playing with Princey back in the early back here at the Titans, just knew how to close out a game, like whether that be kick it out to the corner or even just keep it in and just bash him down there in the corner. Just knowing how to read the game and being able to do that week in, week out. And it's obviously, it's a tough thing to do. And I'm not a halfback, so I don't think I'm a halfback. And I just know just at stages of the game when people need rest. And Princey was just a really good reader of body language and when people actually did need that, and knowing everyone around him and how fit they were and what stage of the game they were in, what to do. And once Ash picks that up, it's a hard thing to do. It's not an easy thing being a halfback in an NRL team, and once he picks it up, I think it'll take him to another level.
Let's talk about Garth Brennan, because he was very vocal when he went up there. I've had Breno, I've talked to him. I think a great coach gone up to the Titans probably haven't delivered on, some of the expectations that have been put on your side. As I said, I think you guys have a top six pack every year. When you look at some of those names, you got rep players coming out the yin-yang. What is Garth Brennan's message to you guys? How does he keep you guys up, especially after last week? I mean, he said you guys were mentally weak, you were dumb in the second half. What's been the week like at training? Take us behind the curtains with Garth Brennan this week.
Yeah, he just tries to keep your mind on the game. It takes a full performance. Like, you can't have two or three players playing good every week and up 15 not doing much. And we just have to make sure everyone's on. And you have those players that might have the odd bad game, but we had 1 week where Jai Arrow was just the only one doing anything.
The Sharks, 290 metres.
You kind of just like games like that where you're relying solely on the 90-kilo lock to get you going forward. So it's hard because everyone needs to do their job to make everything fall into place. And if three or four players are not having a great game, it actually just makes it extremely hard for everyone else to pick up their game. And Jai's been trying out some phenomenal numbers and for his age and where he's come from, and he just can't, like, for him to play, have longevity in NRL, like, he can't do that every week.
I spoke to him last week and I felt like saying, mate, you're going to have to take a month off soon because you've done the work already of a full season, so...
He plays through, like, he's got injuries that I'm not even going to say, like, he just keeps playing for him, like, I don't know how, like, when I was a kid, like, I was sore, but, like, I'd rebound pretty quick, but I was still sore as, and he just seems to be able to back it up every week, so he's a phenomenal athlete. But, it's just making sure Garth gets everyone ready. And obviously the first year he didn't have the roster that he wanted. And I think this year it's sort of closer to where he wants to be. And he's still searching for everyone, some of the players to make up the squad. And I think once he gets a good crack at how everything, how he wanted to go, and it should be totally fine.
Now, I'm looking at your stats here. You're a bit of a try-scoring sneak. 30 tries for a front row, that's unheard of.
Yeah, I missed one this year. I missed a couple this year. Now I'm injured, so I might have to be on the media at the end of the year. I don't know how that will go, but this one year, that was one year I happened to go over the line a fair few times, and yeah, just seemed to always...
What was your favourite try? Because, I mean, I'm just thinking back, there's not too many glamorous front row tries where you're thinking, I step four players and, you know, burst through a gap and ran 30 metres. What's your favourite try?
It's probably the one where I broke...
Don't say you ran over me, because I couldn't remember. If you say you ran over me, mate, we're going to scratch it.
I got the record up in our semi-finals up against Broncos. Birdie offloaded it.
Yep.
And well, I was equal the record holder at that time. And then it was a horrible offload. Birdie was never known for his offloads. But it sort of drilled on the ground. I grubbed it. I ran and probably 5 or 6 metres, just bounced up to my hand and... I got past the Broncos fullback and scored the try. So, yeah, it was pretty special to get that record. And I probably won't ever get close to 11 or 12 tries again in the season.
Geez, you had a decorated junior career. You won the Peter Sterling Player of the Medal, which is obviously at Palm Beach, Currumbin. It's like the medal for the Player of the Year in the Schoolboys Cup. You made the Australian Schoolboys with another young guy, Jordan Rankin, who's still plying his trade over in the Super League. You made the CHS New South Wales under-15s team. You always knew you were going to play in the NRL, didn't you?
Yeah, always. Like, I think from the age of 15, I sort of had a half-decent idea that I wanted to do it. And it was actually the CHS trials where I thought I wasn't actually going to make it because, I don't know, and my dad and my mum were sitting there going, ECS, I thought you played pretty good. And then I actually got player of the carnival. So I didn't realise before that I was going half as decent as I was, and then to get that award back then actually really boosted my confidence and set me sort of on the path. And yeah, old man sort of sat me down and said, "You can actually make a career out of footy," and you don't actually look at it too much before that. Just being from a sort of a country town, and not too many players that actually. I don't think anyone had played first grade from Blamble. And
you might have a statue, mate.
How good is this? Yeah, to play football for a living. I just play it for fun with my mates, and I was stoked to be able to do it for a living and be able to do it on the Gold Coast where I live.
Who was Ryan James's hero growing up?
It was I actually used to love the Tigers back in the day. So I actually used to love Princey and Buffer and a guy named Tyron Smith. Do you remember him?
Yes, yep, Tyron Smith. His son's now playing Remus Smith.
Yeah, and then he was actually just at our training not long ago, and then. I was telling Nathan Peter the story. I was like, mate, I used to love that guy just because I used to love the Tigers back in the day. And he was like one of my favourite players. And apparently, he's Pete's uncle. I was like, how the hell does that work? And I think it's his missus's, his partner's uncle. So I was just blown away that I actually got to meet him.
Yeah, right. So run us through. I've got a couple of little quick questions to finish, and I'll leave the best one to last. I won't tell you what Joey Arrow said, but what was your first car, mate?
First car was an old maroon Falcon, which I rid off because I was driving past the RTA and an old fella just passed his eye test and he pulled out in front of me and I totaled it.
Sorry, I hope everyone was all right, but I didn't get any other stories like that. What was your worst game?
Ooh, worst game.
Well, you just came off and you thought, if he drops me, I know... That's probably fair enough, and I may not get back in.
In New Zealand, where John Cartwright was a coach, and it was one of the he's a big, scary man, and we lost the game by two. I remember I got penalised because Simon Mennering grabbed my leg as he went to play the ball, and I pushed him. They ended up winning by two, and I gave him a penalty in front.
Oh.
He absolutely got up and just pizzled me in front of everybody, and that was at least the worst feeling I felt while playing NRL.
What about your best game where you've come off and you thought, that's 3 Dally M points for me, I'll probably get me out of the match, check?
I remember a game in Perth where I think we took Rabbitohs extra time over there, and I remember that being one of the better games I'd played in a while. I think I got a double over there, and I think Ash kicked the field goal in extra time to win over in Perth. So that was a good match to remember.
One of your favourite teammates to play alongside?
I love playing with the Don. I've played with him for ages, and you just know what you're getting out of him. Barely drops the ball and just does all the little things that people probably outside of footy don't realise that are good things. And just one of my good mates.
Yeah, he's got a bit of a catchphrase now. Everyone knows the Don. What about, I have a feeling I think I know who you'll say, but biggest punish you've ever had in your team that just won't leave you alone, that's just annoying everyone?
Besides Jai.
I had someone else in mind, but I'm not sure.
It's not too really.
I thought Nathan Peets would be good on the chat.
Yeah, he is a punish, but everyone already knows he's a punish, so you just expect it from him. Like he could come in, like he dead set as tripolar. Like he could be happy 1 second, next minute he's talking to you about a bet he has on the tennis and some multi he's got, and then 3 minutes later, like he could be angry at you for something. It's like, what's he doing?
I'll tell you what, he's one of those guys. I've met him and played against him a couple of times, but you need those guys in the change room because they keep everyone on edge, and you can't have everyone doing the same and think about footy non-stop. And those guys, to me, I mean, I've played with a couple of them, you know, like a Dan Hunt, Ben Hornby, those guys that just come in, keep the room nice and loose. Nathan Peets certainly does that for the Titans.
Yeah.
Want to talk about, I asked Joe Arrow last week and he took ages to answer, so I hope you don't. You can play one, you can drop one, or you can bench one. Here are your three choices: Garth Brennan, Mal Meninga, Brad Fittler.
You're dropping Breno.
What's that? You're dropping Breno?
Yeah. and play one and bench one. You'd be playing Mal, is immortal.
And you bench Freddie.
Bench Freddie, yeah.
Mate, that was not the answer Joy Arrow gave us. He played Breno. He played Kevvy Walters, and he dropped the other option that I had, which was the Australian coach. So thanks very much, Ryan James. Appreciate your time. Good luck with returning from your ACL injury, and we hope to see you back soon.
Cheers. Thanks, Howie.
Thanks for tuning in to another episode of Pow Wow with Sow Wow. Don't forget to rate, review, and subscribe. I'll be back next week.